Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, December 6th, 2017. Another banner day ahead of us today. In fact, I'm pretty excited, Jason. In a few hours, I'll be meeting with Kelly. She's our layout graphics person for the Prime Life Times, and we're going to continue to talk about ways to improve that paper and some other ideas for her to work on. And you actually yesterday got to witness a portion of our meeting. Tim Stevens, who he and his brother are the owners and publishers of KK Stevens Publishing Company. It's out of Astoria, Illinois. Have you ever been there?
Well, he mentioned where it's at, so I've been around there.
Yeah, north of Springfield, about an hour and a half.
Yeah, by Macomb, he said.
Yeah, he said it was, I think he said 118 miles to the assembly hall.
Okay.
I don't know if he came for basketball games or he's driven in a time or two, but a wonderful gentleman. He kind of took us through the whole process of how the Prime Life Times gets printed and how it gets folded and, you know, ways of maximizing color versus black and white. And so yesterday we had our Prime Life Times weekly Tuesday meeting and had Bob Dickey and Jason Gingold and Herb Ketchum and Marianne Offenstein and Holly Burns. And then Tim came in and shared. And then you came into a part of that because Tim treated us all to lunch. And it was a festive time. And there was some good witnessing and sharing. And we're so pleased. If you're tuned in for the Monday or Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, you heard Marianne read one of her stories as editor-in-chief. She's also a content contributor, and so she read her story about Paul Smith, and that was just a great story to read. That was yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, and both those programs are archived at greatnewsradio.org. But what did you feel when you saw all of us gathering and huddling around the paper and talking it through? Was it an encouragement? Because you were in the beginning stages of conceptualizing how God might be working to have us acquire and take over and implement this paper to his glory. And so now you're kind of seeing it, our second edition, out in 100-plus locations at this point. Any impressions?
No, it just seemed like you guys were trying to get your head around what was going on and how it was working itself out. I think he was just trying to give you guys some information so that you guys could understand that side of the business. I think that generally it's probably a good idea to be educated and to understand how that process works so that you can best work with the process to maximize how it impacts you and how you impact it. So, I mean, whenever processes can work best together, I think that ultimately, you know, the whole thing moves in the right direction in a better way. So that's really all. I mean, I really was trying to keep my ears out because it wasn't my conversation.
Yeah, you were kind of.
And I have four kids, so I'm really good at not paying attention when I know that I'm not supposed to pay attention.
Sure, sure. Well, it was interesting. It's our fifth or sixth meeting on Tuesdays where we have the Prime Life Times staff, who many are also a part of the Great News Radio staff, come together and we talk through. In fact, we already are looking at deadlines for the January edition, but we've gotten a number of new ads and some new content, and we're just excited to see how God will use this paper. And one of the things we feature is the Singing Men singing this Saturday in Danville. That's a noon concert, free concert, and so there's a half-page ad about that and a full-page ad about It's a Wonderful Life, the radio version. And Kate Freeman was with me last night. She'll be with me again tonight. And then tomorrow night, as we fine-tune some of the sound effects and get things set up and figured out how many minutes the whole production will be so we can figure out time slots in the days ahead and announce when people can tune in and listen to it. And so that's going really well. A lot of different things coming together. And thank you, God, for the energy and those with expertise to pull it all together and assist and help and deliver these papers to these 100-plus sites. I know Herb Ketchum, he's our distribution manager. And so we were telling Herb yesterday, we need to make some inroads towards the Tuscola, Arcola, Missoula area, Herb, and you need to head over this way. And Herb was like, okay, what else do you need me to do? Oh, Herb, we need you to follow up on this. And then Bob Dickey's volunteering. Okay.
You had to get Herb a gas station
<that's>
to help him out.
Yeah. So great team. And thank you, God, for the ability to be able to delegate to quality people that have a heart and a passion and expertise in these various areas. So good meeting yesterday, and we'll continue to pray how God will use the Prime Lifetimes in the days ahead. So what's happening with the Schiffo family household ministry team over there in Mahomet?
The same as always. Yeah. It's just crazy. They're crazy. It's all crazy, and you're just trying to keep up the best you can. And, you know, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Parenting is a marathon. And so, it's December.
December, and you're a new homeowner. Does it feel different now that you set that tree up?
It's starting to, because we painted. We did that over Thanksgiving. So we painted most of the downstairs, began hanging trim wood, crown molding, trimming out windows. And so things are starting to slowly look different. Because prior to, I told my wife, I said, if it doesn't look different, I just feel like I have a different landlord, and that's me. You know, but I don't feel like I truly own the place, because we haven't made decisions that are like our decisions.
Right, right.
But, you know, now it's like reality hits. Last night the toilet wouldn't flush. And so, you know, I immediately, my thought is, we need to call the toilet guy. And then I go, I am the toilet guy.
Yeah.
And so I got on YouTube and watched a video. You know, some guy, if your toilet won't flush, just go buy this O-ring and replace it. So I had to go do that. Yeah. At some point, I have to go get those parts from Menards. I have a new ministry. It's Menards.
Yeah, that's right. The Ministry of Menards.
Yeah. And so, there is a lot of power in arriving and going, I don't know what I'm doing. And they're like, well, let me help you. And then while they're helping me, I'm like, hey, you know, let me talk to you about some things that I do know about.
Yeah. the spiritual exercise that takes place at Menards.
Yeah, I kind of like it there. I really do. I didn't think I did. In fact, it's kind of funny because we went there a week ago. My son said, I'm hungry. And I said, well, get some beef jerky. Why you got to get beef jerky? I said, I don't know, but when I was a kid, I went to the hardware store with my daddy, got beef jerky. We should start getting beef jerky. So every time we go now, we're getting beef jerky.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
tradition.
Yeah, so now he's like, Dad, we just get the beef jerky? Yeah, get the beef jerky.
The bonding.
So now we got beef jerky. I actually like Menards, so I'm kind of you just look around and you go, oh, my gosh, you could do all this stuff to your house.
Well, I do in Menards, and I do prefer Menards over Lowe's and for various reasons. But I do at Menards what you oftentimes had told me you would do at Hobby Lobby. I go through some of the aisles, and I just look for ideas, or I'm thinking, oh, I think I could use one of those in this way, or, oh, that's an interesting thing. And, you know, I don't know, I walk the aisles, you know, just to get ideas or be fascinated by, oh, that's how they do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, nowadays, because redoing your house is such a thing now, you know, with all these flip this house show and all that, I mean, there's so much stuff that they have now that you can do, and it's set up so you can do it. So, I mean, you go in there and, they, you know, they got the tile, you know, little pieces of tile, but it's on like a big foot-by-foot mesh.
Yeah.
So you could stick it up on the wall. So what used to be like impossible to do, you know, it's hard for somebody who knew what they were doing to do. Now the layman can do it. So we do. We walk around and we go like, we could do that. Oh, we could do that too.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, and so the only thing that we're finding is that our ideas exceed our budget.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So now we're just kind of trying to have to figure out, okay, what do we want to do really?
We can do that. Someday.
That's what it is, someday.
Well, tis the season to be shopping and out and about. And Holly and I have done some first time ever going to some open houses and looking at some other homes. And I was telling Holly, in America, some people do that kind of as a hobby. They want to see their neighbor's home, or they
want to get
decoration ideas, or they want to see how, like, this wealthy home, how it's laid out, and maybe take ideas. Wow, that's an interesting banister, the setup, or how they did something, or closet space. And so we looked at a few houses, and, you know, we're just kind of praying up where God may lead or whatever. And We did actually, at an open house, put a bid down that we felt like if we got it, God was in it, because they rejected it. But, you know, we just thought, well, okay, we'll just keep kind of praying and seeing and seeking. But it was a lot of fun because we've looked at two different houses, and we're like, that's interesting. And then we've looked at a lot online. Mm-hmm. And then you start making comparisons like, wow, that house and the subdivision, but gosh, all those houses look exactly the same, where over here there's a lot of variance or differences. And, oh, we like that in this house, and we like this in this house. And, you know, it's such a major decision to make. But we kind of had some fun, and I don't know if you call it like date night time, but we go and
isn't it amazing how date night changes?
Yeah, that's right.
As you progress through, date night used to be, you know, dinner and a movie, you know, a kiss when you dropped off at the door. Maybe you're married, so then, you know, but a romantic evening. But now date night is like shopping for the kids.
Yeah, going to Menards.
Yeah. We did. We had a date the other morning. We had a thing at church where you could drop your kids off so you could go have like a shopping morning. And so we dropped our kids off, and we went to Menards. And we ran into somebody there, and they're like, hey, aren't you guys on a date? We're like, yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, times are changing.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's just, you know, I think that's just the flow of life.
Yeah. And make the most of it, and you can turn it into a memory-filled afternoon. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I don't think that everything has to be a romantic evening, a dinner out, and all that stuff. Sometimes, you know, just building memories, you know, we went to Menards and bought the stuff that we're going to use to help make our house a home. I think that's important. Yeah. I think that those are the little things that can be overlooked.
Well, Sunday, we launched into Advent. Do you have an Advent thought, idea, message? Did you preach on Sunday about Advent?
I did, yeah. I'm preaching. I think I'm preaching all the way through the end of the year. Hmm. So, you know, we'll kind of, we will hard land at Christmas, because I think we've got two Christmas Eve services and a Christmas Day service. And so we're going to run hard into that and then collapse, and then I think I have a week off of preaching and everything else before I have to come back again. But yeah, we talked on Sunday, we talked about Psalm 40, what it means to wait. You know, we talked about waiting, because that's what Advent really is about. Advent comes as a guidepost every single year to train us in what it means to wait. Advent is supposed to be about expectancy, yearning, longing, and waiting. And so that's what Advent is supposed to do. That's what the Advent reading should guide us to do, is to wait, to grow with expectancy. God is doing something. What is he going to do? And so it's important that we would understand what the Bible has to say about waiting, because waiting is hard.
Right.
I think when I started my message, I said, you know, how many people in here are impatient? Most hands went up. I said, I think we're all impatient. And how many of us have been silly enough to actually pray for patience, have actually asked the Lord to, in our impatience, stretch us to make us more patient? You know, what God is going to do when you ask him to for patience is he is going to bring and rub all the places where you're impatient to help stretch those things out. So it's really kind of an exercise in humility and frustration, because you do not begin to become patient for some time. In fact, you're impatient.
I think you'd appreciate this, and you know Larry Bunning, Budget Tours. But he had one time some years ago said he had prayed for that, and he said it was like the worst month of his life. And I said, Larry, you never prayed for patience, because God will test you in that.
Yeah, God will definitely stretch your patience. You know, and the reason he does so is that he wants to grow us in that area. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's what I think Christmas is about. So isn't it interesting that for those of us who are, I mean, if we think about some of the things that Christmas are, so we would say, you know, well, Christmas is the tree and the stockings and peace, love, and joy. But if we think about culturally what's happening around us at Christmas, what do we have? We have impatient traffic, impatient lines. We have waiting for this to happen, waiting for that to happen. Are we ready for this? A lot of what happens around Christmas time is built on being impatient.
Yeah.
When is this going to happen?
And so, and additional pressures.
Sure.
The pressures of this, and I'm being stretched this way, and I'm tired, and I'm overwhelmed, and I'm working hard to get things fit in so I can go and do this. So it's kind of an overwhelming time for so many.
Yeah, it really is. And so Psalm 40 begins by David saying, I waited patiently for the Lord. And so, like us, at times, David cries out to the Lord, and actually, what David is doing starts in Psalm 37 and then 38 and then 39. So this isn't just a process. When David say, I cried out and I waited patiently, that isn't just in verse 1 he did that and he did it. David had cried out in Psalm 37, and he's, for a number of psalms, is waiting patiently. And so what we talked about is just what are the three ways that we navigate waiting, and how do we do it biblically? You know, the 17th century Puritan pastor John Owens compared waiting on the Lord to sailors at sea who were at a great distance from land and beset with storms, and yet they were sustained by the hope of seeing land off in the distance. Mm. And so as we wait, we're expecting, going, look at, off in the distance, I know the Lord is doing something. Mm. I know he's bringing me to the place that he has prepared. And so I need to be patient in this. But there's everything about us that doesn't want to be patient. And it, like I already said, we live in an impatient culture. Listen, we live in a time in history when we get nuts between the window we pay at and the window that we pick up our food because it seems like it takes too long.
The drive-thru.
And at no other time in history would somebody say, I didn't get my meal in 90 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, but here in this time, that's what we'll say. Or we'll say, oh, they messed my order up. They prepared it in 90 seconds. They put it all together in the bag and took your money, did all of that in like no time flat. You know how many mistakes we would make if somebody gave us a task that we had to do that quickly? And so we live in the kind of this fast-paced culture. So I think as we wait, one of the things that we need to do, the first thing we need to do is say we need to get quiet.
Hmm.
And so when we wait, biblical understanding of waiting is that we need to set aside our fretful mind and our troubled and anxious heart. And being quiet, by the way, is something difficult in culture. It's really hard for us because we don't deal well in culture. We like noise. We like background noise. We don't like silence. We don't like being quiet. Have you ever been in a group that prays and all of a sudden it gets real quiet and everybody gets real antsy?
Hmm.
Because we don't like silence. We can't handle silence well. But here's the thing, is that I run across people all the time who are telling me, I've been trying to hear the Lord, but it just seems like he's not speaking. And the first thing I always tell them, and I have to say this to myself sometimes, is if you can't hear the Lord 99.9% of the times, it's because you're talking too much.
Hmm.
You're the one who's making too much noise. You're the one who's making it so that you can't hear him. And so you need in this time of waiting to get quiet before the Lord.
Hmm.
In Psalm 37, in verse 7, David says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. In Psalm 39, verse 1 and 2, he says, I will guard my ways that I might not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle so long as the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I held my peace to no avail and my distress grew worse. David said, I waited patiently and quietly, and it was hard. It was really hard is what David says. And one of the things that I think is a stumbling block for us when we talk about getting quiet is that we think that being quiet means not doing anything. And yet being quiet doesn't mean that. Being quiet means reading, praying, not being passive, but we're just not talking. We're being quiet before the Lord. We're listening to him. The second thing I think we need to do is we need to persevere. And so often I find folks who are waiting on the Lord literally doing nothing. And waiting on the Lord involves faithfully following the Lord. Quiet plus perseverance, when you put the two together, it means praying, reading, talking with the Lord, spending more time listening. David tells us in Psalm 37 and 34, wait for the Lord and keep his way. And I love this. I shared on Sunday morning this story about George Mueller. He waited. He had to practice this in his life. Said he began to pray for his five friends to come to know the Lord. And after many months, one of them came to the Lord. 10 years later, the second man came to the Lord. 25 years later, the third man came to the Lord. 52 years later, the fourth man came to the Lord. The fifth man, he didn't come to the Lord until at George Mueller's funeral.
Hmm.
All of these men, George Mueller never stopped praying for, never stopped interceding for. That's waiting and waiting and wondering and waiting. And so we need to persevere. We need to seek the Lord. We need to pray. We need to read the scriptures. We need to stand upon his promises. And we need to do so quietly, listening for him to speak to us. Quiet, perseverance, and third, an expectant heart. You know, if our quietness can keep us from worry and our perseverance can keep us from doing nothing, then an expectant heart guards our hearts from despair. Waiting is hard, but it's meant to be hopeful. David says over and over again, all my longing is before you. David says, but for you, O Lord, do I wait. It is you, O Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Now, what I like to say is either David is a glutton for punishment, or he truly believes, he is truly expectant that God is going to do something, that God is going to show up. And so what you have to understand is this, that quietness without expectancy can make us passive and lazy. Hmm. Perseverance without expectancy can make us self-reliant. Without expectant hope in what only God can do, we'll begin to just trust ourselves rather than the God who promises all these things in His Word. And so we want to get quiet, we want to persevere, and we want to have an expectant heart. Hmm. But the most important thing is this, is that we remember who it is that we wait upon.
Mm-hmm.
We remember that the person that we wait upon is the God of the universe, the God who measures out the oceans like we measure out sugar into our coffee, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who puts the stars in place at night. We have to remember that the God who is so powerful that He literally moves the entire universe is also near and involved in, mm-hmm. in the intricacies, the small moments of our lives. And if we know this, if we can really wrap our minds around this, then we can wait. And listen, this is what Advent is meant to be. Advent is to train us to wait on the Lord. Because on Christmas, it is every one of God's promises coming true. It is all 350 plus foreshadowings, allusions, metaphors, and mentions in the Old Testament about this coming Savior, all of it showing up in a manger as God shed divinity and put on humanity and walked amongst us and touched us and took away our sin by dying on a cross and shedding His blood.
Hmm.
And so every bit of that, but you know what? For many of us, we don't realize or can't rationalize that one thin page between the Old Testament and the New Testament, it stands for 400 to 600 years of silence. And so that's what December is. That's what Advent is for us. It's that time of silence where we wait and we wonder and we hope and that we're reminded that if God can do that thing, sending the Savior into the world, then He certainly, certainly can address whatever it is you're waiting upon Him for.
Be quiet and listen. Persevere by seeking the Lord and have an expectant heart that God is working. And I love this season that He came not as this sovereign, all-powerful, distant God, but personal in the framework or in the man, in the child, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's
in a baby.
A
she held Him. I mean, if you think about that, that's just mind-blowing.
Lots to think about. We're in the Advent season with great expectancy each and every day that as we trust our lives into the Lord's care, it's going to be a good day. So may you have a great day today, and we appreciate that you're tuned in even at this point in time. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.